Thank you, Dwight. As I mentioned at the beginning, we're in the process of selecting new leaders for our congregation, men who will be overseers to care for the needs of this church, men who are shepherds to tend the flock, elders, which implies men who are older in years and have wisdom. We're not going to go into a lengthy study this morning. That's best reserved for class situations in which we go through one by one and look at all those qualities that should be possessed by elders that are mentioned in 1 Timothy and also in Titus. Hopefully you have had a chance, as you've looked at those sheets, to review those passages for yourself. In this congregation, we have men who serve, six men who are currently serving us now, as the elders of the Sunset Church of Christ. These are the men who make the decisions of the church. I am the preaching minister here, but I am not the one who runs this church. I'm not the one who makes the decisions. These men are the ones who do that. I serve under their authority, under their leadership. Currently we have Irvin Dock, Harold Hadley, Vinton Haskins and Don Johnson, Holland Smithson and Lowell Thomas, who are serving this church as elders. And I want to just take a moment, because I know sometimes if you're newer here, you don't always know who these men are. Would these men stand, those that are here at early service at least, the men that are serving this congregation as elders right now? Lowell and Harold and Vinton and Don are here at this service. Thank you, gentlemen. These men are laboring under a fairly heavy load. As we're going to see, the responsibilities that are placed upon them are quite extensive. Now, you may not know that elders are not exclusive to the New Testament. We read about elders in the Old Testament as well. They're mentioned frequently, in fact, among God's people. God has always had men who served, or at least from the very earliest of times, have had men who have served in this capacity. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, we read these words. God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say unto them." And so we see this group of men, men who had the respect of Israel, men who served in a leadership capacity within Israel. They're mentioned again, and I'll just give you a few of the many passages that talk about them. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. "So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, 'You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have.'" In Ezra chapter 10, and verse 14, "Let our officials act for the whole assembly. Then let everyone in our towns who has married a foreign woman come at a set time, along with the elders." And so again, we see this group of men. In Matthew chapter 15, we read about these Jewish elders. They came to Jesus and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Now, these were not Christian elders, and I'm not trying to mix the two. They were different from what we read of later in the New Testament. But there were men who served in this capacity. The first reference we read of Christian elders is in Acts chapter 11, verses 29 and following. It says, "The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul." Now, the second time we read about elders in the New Testament is in reference to their appointment in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. It says, "Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust." Now, because the early church grew out of Judaism And it was for many years, at least in those early years, viewed as just another offshoot from Judaism. It was natural for elders to exist in the church almost from the beginning. It was a natural thing. They had elders. And so in these Jewish communities who had given their lives to Jesus Christ, there were men who were already qualified to serve in this capacity as elders. Now, although we are never given a list of the qualities of elders in the Old Testament, like the one at least that we have in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, it's a fair assumption, I believe, to conclude that God always had certain characteristics, certain qualities that he looked for in those who would serve as the leaders among his people. Now, on the sheets that you have available to you, many of you may have already taken those sheets and prayerfully considered some men that you wanted to submit, and you've already looked through some of those qualities there. We have in these lists, in these passages, and also in 1 Peter 5, it talks about the role and responsibilities of an elder. With the coming of the New Testament, we do have a much greater, more detailed description of the role of elders. What they are to be, what they are to do, how they are to lead. And the first question for any congregation that's involved in this process like we are selecting elders is who can serve? Who can serve in this capacity? To serve as the President of the United States, there are several criteria that must be met. You must have reached a certain age. You must be a natural-born citizen, and there are a few other things that are required. But as we look at elders, what does God require for one who would serve in this capacity? Well, I'm going to leave you to look at that list. Pick one up if you don't have it. Read through those passages and consider carefully the things that God lists there that are of importance. But if you wanted to combine all of those things and sum it up and in a nutshell express in one sentence what it is that God is looking for in any individual who would serve as an elder of the church, it's probably not what we would look for, at least in industry or in business. It has nothing to do, none of these qualities have anything to do with educational qualifications. Not once does the Bible ever mention a degree or a level of education that one must attain to be a leader in the church. Never is it mentioned that this individual must have a certain position in the community, a leader in the business world or community. May make a good leader in the church, but that's not part of God's criteria. It's never a matter of wealth. It's never a matter of status. It's not even a matter of verbal skill. Moses, one of the greatest leaders of all times, was a man who initially did not want to lead because of this matter of a lack of verbal skill. Now, the one thing that God looks for, and consequently the one description that we must look for when you put all of those qualities together, is simply this: a man of godly character. That's what God's after. You add all that up, and that's what you've got: a man of godly character, a man who is in love with Jesus Christ, who is taking on the likeness of Jesus Christ, a man who is growing in the image of Jesus. That's the kind of man we need to lead this church. Now, men who serve as elders in the Lord's church must be men who are Christ-like in their character. They must be holy men of God. Throughout history, God has always required that his leaders be holy individuals. Now, this standard of godliness is fleshed out in all of these qualities or qualifications that are listed in Timothy and Titus. But having said that, we must remember that any man who serves is just that. He's a man. And he's a man that has feet of clay. He's a man that has his own struggles, his own problems, his own failings. As such, he is a sinner. There's never been a perfect elder, and there never will be one. As we look at those lists in Timothy and Titus, I don't think you could find any man anywhere that measures up perfectly in every one of those qualifications and qualities. What we must look for are individuals who are qualifying to a positive degree in these areas. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, this morning, I want to narrow my message. I've been talking to everyone thus far. I want to narrow my message this morning to a few of the men who are present here today. And I'm not talking to the men that are already serving this congregation as elders. I'm talking about the men who might be asked to serve as we make this process of selection today, or those who may be asked to serve in subsequent years in this congregation. The first thing that's required here, and often this is one of the qualifications we miss, is that a man must want to do the work of an elder. It says, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in the passage that Graham read for us earlier, in verse 2 of that passage, it says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Now, there are a lot of wrong motives, and I think we all understand that. This is a wonderful congregation. It's a church that is known in quite a large geographical area, and there is some prestige that is associated with serving as an elder of this congregation. But if that's the reason for service, that's a wrong motivation. It's not a matter of title. It's not a matter of honor. Paul emphasizes not the title, but the work, the task of an elder. He desires, he says, a noble task. The position of an elder carries with it a frightening responsibility. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul there, or through the Holy Spirit, it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. We in this congregation are approaching 900 souls. That's including our children. And that is a daunting task to take on the responsibility of shepherding almost 900 individuals. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, it talks about our responsibility. And it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. You know, serving as an elder often involves unpleasant tasks. It involves shepherding the flock, and that means caring for those who are physically sick within our church family, giving attention to them, mourning with those who mourn, and being a person who is compassionate in that area. It involves going after sheep that are wandering. And let me tell you, that is not an easy task to do, to go after people who are caught up in sin or who have wandered away and try to gently and lovingly bring them back into the fold. Elders often are required to serve as problem solvers and peace keepers and peace makers within the church family. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And so an elder is responsible for keeping the church on track doctrinally in addition to all the other concerns. He must serve as an example in his own faith and conduct. In 1 Peter 5:3, in the passage we read at the beginning, it says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then also in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, it says an elder must be willing to put in long hours. It says he must direct the affairs of the church, and that's not done easily. There are meetings, there are times of prayer that they're called to do, there's counseling that falls their way. And so there's a lot to this. And in addition to all of that, for any of you who would consider being an elder, consider the role that your wife and your children play in this matter. They are also listed as part of these qualities that a man must possess. There are extra responsibilities and pressures that fall upon the wife and the children. Now, I'm not sharing all of this to discourage any of you men who might consider, after preaching this sermon, we may have all of our elders resign. You know, it's a daunting task, and I'm not saying all of this for that reason. But I want you to look soberly at this greatest of all responsibilities in the church. You must want a job like this for the right reasons. You must have the heart of Jesus and want to serve his people. That's the bottom line. There are also tremendous, tremendous blessings that go with this work. There are times that I have shared with our elders and with the former elders of this congregation that come as close to being in heaven as anything I know about. Times when we've been together on trips and when we've talked together and prayed together and sang together. And there are times in our retreats when we dream and talk about what God can do through his people here. Those are the mountain peaks spiritually of my life. And I've shared those times with men who served as elders. So there are tremendous, wonderful blessings that go with this responsibility. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul said, those who have served will gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. That's part of the perks that go with serving as an elder. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, appears, and he's talking to elders, he says, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In that scene in heaven recorded in Revelation chapter 4, the innermost beings to the throne of God are depicted as the cherubim there. And then outside that there's a circle. And in that circle are the elders who are wearing those golden crowns. Elders will receive special honor from none other than the Son of God himself for the service they render to God's people. And this morning I want us to especially consider the role of the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and I want to close with this passage, Paul says to men who were serving there in Ephesus as elders, he says, guard yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. And so let me say this to some of you men who will be asked this time, and some of you will be asked in years to come to serve in this capacity. If you are recognized by people in this congregation for the qualities that you have exhibited, I know it's a humbling thing, it's a fearful thing to be approached by people and to be asked, would you be willing to serve? I'm thinking about putting your name down. And our first response, my first response would be, they don't know me as I really am. You know, they ought to talk to my wife if they're thinking about asking me to serve as an elder. And we all know the worst about ourselves. But let me ask you to consider this. This may not be just an individual who's asking you. This may be part of the work of God's Holy Spirit in raising up men to serve within this church family. The Spirit of God is involved in this process. Prayer has already gone into it. And so I just want to simply ask the men who may be considering serving in this capacity to understand that this is part of God's role in the whole process. And the God who calls will also enable those who will serve as leaders among his people. I'm grateful for the men who currently serve, for the men who have served, and I anticipate with joy the men who will serve this congregation in this way. And this morning, before we have our invitation, I want to lead us in prayer as we now are going today to be completing this process by turning these names in. Will you pray with me? Father, as we consider the men who may be serving this congregation in the days ahead, Father, I pray that as we as members of this congregation look out among us and select men that we see that meet these qualities, Father, I pray that we will be wise, that we will be prayerful in this selection process. And Father, for those who are asked to consider serving, Father, this is, I know, a very frightening and sobering responsibility to be thrust upon anyone. And we know that there is an accountability that goes with this, but Father, there is such a tremendous blessing too. And Father, I pray that those men who are seriously considering and will be seriously considering the prospects of serving this church will do so knowing and understanding clearly that this process has been enabled by your Holy Spirit, and that this task will also be enabled by your strength and your resources and your power. Father, we're grateful for godly men who are willing to serve, and we pray that you will find those among us who can take this challenge and help us move this congregation forward in the years ahead. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church. Father, we're grateful for the chief shepherd, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You know, leadership exists for one primary reason. I knew of a church back in Tennessee, and the elders would go and visit, especially the young families, and they would pray with each young family in the church, and their prayer was the same. They prayed that those families and those children would one day arrive at their final goal, which is heaven. That's the task of the elders, really, to see that as many of this church family as is possible will all make it to our eternal goal in heaven. So we'll all be together there around that throne. This morning, there may be some here who have never taken the initial step of salvation. Maybe you're here and you've considered going ahead and publicly owning Jesus Christ as your Savior, making that confession, being baptized, but you, for whatever reason, have never taken that final step of faith. If you would like to do that this morning, we'll gladly assist you as you're baptized into Christ. If you're here today and you have a prayer need, if you have something that you need to share with this congregation and ask for prayers, I think if you've been here long at all, you know how warmly this church receives and prays for anyone who's struggling, and we'll pray for you right now. We'll have one of our elders come and pray for you right now if that's your need. If you need to come for these reasons, we invite you to do that right now as we stand and sing.